So join me as we say these words.
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Today's sermon is on Psalm 93, on page 470. Have a few times to open there. Just before we going on, the Psalm 93 is part of a group of psalms that worship God as a king, but the real king, not the king that was around Israel in that times. The psalm sees God reigning with power and being sovereign above all and above everything. Psalms like this understand us why matters know that God's powerful and how it could impact in our lives and change out our thinking. It shapes the way that we see the world and how we see God operating in the world. Before we go on, keep it as a big picture. God is everlasting. There is nothing bigger than him. Let me read. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lifted up their roaring. Mightier than the thunders of many waters. Mightier than the waves of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness benefits your house, O Lord, forevermore. This is the word of God. Let me pray. God, this is your word. Use me as instrument. Open hearts, our minds to receive your word. Change the way that we think and reveal your power. This, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, on the first read, we could show as a simple poem, a short one, and a really good one to say, God, I have read your word today. I'm fine. I don't need to be concerned to read more because I read it down. Definitely, it's a short one for a busy day. But read in that way, we're just going to be a read. It's not something that really changes. Even being a short chapter, it needs some dedication and reflection to understand the language that was used there. When Kieran told me that I will preach this psalm, I said, oh, it's okay, it's a short one, not a big deal to think. And I was stuck in the phrase, you are from the everlasting. And think a bit more why I was stuck there. I realized that we, as a human being, we are finite. Words and concepts that we cannot understand normally stuck us. And then, what means human beings are finite? It means we are limited. The things that we don't know, we cannot understand for complete. And it means the God's work as well. We cannot comprehend everything that he has done or what he can do for us. We cannot predict the future because we are limited by time and space. And reflecting a little further, something came to my mind. But before I continue, let me ask to you one thing. Do you consider yourself as an imaginative person or a pragmatic mind? Why this question? Because in passages like this, this question is important. Because I'm not saying if you are a pragmatic person, you will not understand this. Or if you are very rational, this could make not much sense. But it's the Holy Spirit that working through you and teaches about the truth. And why God uses poetry? On the book of Psalms, we can see songs, poetry, prayers, and not only commandments. God gave us other kind of languages to express who he is. The ways that our finite mind could understand who he is. The language using the Psalms have a power to move us in prayer to him. It captures our mind and imagination to see further our limitation. But there's a good part if you have an imaginative mind like mine. That kind of Psalms gains another shape. But both minds, pragmatic or imaginative, we need the work of the Holy Spirit in us to understand this. My wife and I, we always discuss when we are reading the Bible, and sometimes she asks me, how can you imagine this, or how can you realize these figures? This is something that we talk constantly, and I don't know, I just imagine. And this is something that I want to try this morning to your image for you. Let me read again the verse 1. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established and it shall never be moved. What's the first thing that came to your mind when you read it? Can you produce that image, the God's reigns? If I was a tech guy, I would ask the ChatGPT to create this image for me, but it's not the case. I have just to work with my own mind. But reading, I can evoke the image from Narnia. I don't know if you know Narnia, wrote by C.S. Lewis, where Narnia was a kingdom ruled by a lion. And this lion was so powerful, Aslan, and he reigned with kindness, clothed with majesty and the beauty of the lion. Reading this, what kind of other king you can imagine? You can say, I don't know, we could say the England king is not a good example, but in the past, the Vikings are other kind of kings with power. This pattern and the figures and pictures that was wrote in the Psalms, we repeat on the following Psalms, 96, 97. This phrase is an affirmation about who God is, the king who ruled the world, who is omnipotent. That means the Almighty, the one who can do everything and sovereign. The ruler of the world, the whole world. Pay attention on the last part of this verse, when you say, yes, the word is established, it shall never be moved. What could mean? It's based on the fact that God is supreme king, the creator and the keeper of the world. Even when the other powers came to conflict with him, as he will see on the verse 3 and 4, the power of the hell will never prevail against God's power. Let me read the verse 2. Your throne is established from old. You are from everlasting. As a finite creatures, we have problems to understand the time. In our society, we should want everything to yesterday. In your work, your boss is not say, oh, you can do it quietly until tomorrow. No, he wants it to be fast. And in times like this, we cannot enjoy the solitude. It's really hard just to stop and reflect. And can you explain the time? You can say where you will be in 10, 15, 20 years. No, we cannot say. The maximum that we can do is just planning, but at the end is God's will. But this is the good part. He's reigning since the everlasting. And this is the difference that I told you before between God and the other gods. God is eternal, no beginning, no end, the Alpha and the Omega. This is the assurance that we have. Even when troubled times comes, He remains. As Jesus said, he came to the world to bring us eternal life, as we can reign with as sons and daughters with the Father. To know about the future with Jesus brings us comfort. Do you see this picture? To know the future with Jesus, it could bring to you comfort, or you just follow or seek for Jesus in times as a palliative method, not as a blessed assurance for the future. And this is a reality that we will see on the verse 3 and 4, but I work through it separately. Let me read the first 3. The floods are lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. This is interesting because in verse like this, when Bible is talk about the sea or waves, floods lift up, is always symbol of chaos. In the ancient days, we can see this as creatures living in the sea and the deepest monsters and other powerful creatures, like the Leviathan, the big dragon, I think, could be something else, but the water always says something to fear. It's not something that's quiet, it's something chaotic, and we have to show some respect. If you are new here, I see new face, probably you don't know where I'm from, but I'm from Brazil. And just to turn this story short, I say, where are you from? I'm from Brazil, Rio. But indeed, I'm from Niterói, is the other side of the bridge, and the Rio, a pretty much nicest city, I would say this. And there in Brazil, when you think in Rio de Janeiro, you would think Copacabana, or you think Leblon, Ipanema. It's exuberant beach, of course, but nothing compares with the beach in my city called, move to me please. The name, Itacoatiara. This is the place. Give me the things. Just one challenge. If you could say this name right, I will give you a prize. Someone want to try? Yeah. Close. For your courage. Someone else. No, not even close. But for your brave. It's called Itacoatiara. Please move the... Itacoatiara. this beach seems gorgeous, quiet, but not. There was considered one of the most dangerous beach in Brazil. In normal days, you can enjoy the water. You can take some... waves when the sea is quiet, but normally in days that the sea is not quiet, it's pretty chaotic, but it's beautiful to see waves more than 4 meters chalking the sands. Even to me, who were born there, some days I just sit there, put my chairs and admire the sea and the waves breaking down, powerless, because I knew the power of the creator of the sea. But even with a stark of dangers in the beach and see red flags, we can see some people try to confront the sea and see the consequence. So you can imagine the results of this. And I've remembered it when I was reading this passage, because sometimes in our life it is a chaos. We are into the storm, our troubled soul could not find rest in the middle of the tempesty. But at the same time, I remember about Christ asleep on the boat during the storm in Mark 4 from verse 35. You don't need it to open, I will tell you the summary. His disciples was crying out, Master, "Master, do you not care we are perish?" And the chaos was going on, waves, storm shocking against the boat. But I just can't imagine Jesus waking up quietly and just say, "Peace, peace to you." And then the wind ceases. Jesus asking them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Doesn't matter the storm in your life, how chaotic it could be. Our Savior is still with us. We should not fear. This assurance is confirmed in the second verse, on the verse 4, where it says, "Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty." God is more powerful than sea. He is greater than any problem. He is Lord of all. He is the order into the chaos. Jesus triumphed over the death on the cross. Jesus brought us life. He brought us peace and hope. He overcome the chaos. And He is Lord and reign with the Father. The God holiness is feared than the power of the sea. And how we can reach it? The first thing that I can think is trust in God. Be thankful to Him. Keeping His word, reading, reflecting, praying and gathering, being a body. It enables us to face the chaos. Our troubled soul, we just find rest in You. As Augustine said, "You have made us for Yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in You." Our assurance was bought on the cross by Jesus. Then we can trust in the Lord, the Almighty who controls everything. See the beauty of this poem and how when we can explain this and it's turned understood to us, and how much easier is to understand the power of God in our lives. Now this kind of image of chaos and God's reign could turn more clear to us. When we compare the storm with the problems in our lives and in how can Jesus can calm down this, He just can do it because He's on the control. We can, by this, assimilate better the Bible. Let me read the verse 5. "Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness benefits Your house, O Lord, forevermore." The Lord's decrees, which means His law, is what brings balance for the broken world. The stability of His power is what keeps us. He's faithful in every single circumstance in our lives. We will see the heavens and earth gone, but His word will remain. There is nothing stronger than God. By His decrees and by His law, we can find order to our lives. In His law, we can find rest and peace, as was wrote in Psalms 23. And I have to confess to you, to follow His law is not always easy. Sometimes we just want to live by our own, but by grace with the Holy Spirit to enable us to live according to His law, we can find the pleasure in God. And by this, we have abounding life. And growing up to the sea, I have learned that after the storm always came peace. Doesn't matter how dark it is, at the end we always can see the sun rising again and bring peace to the sea. The floods and the chaos could be many in your life. It could be completely dark or hopeless. And when you are in front of the sea, do you allow the circumstance to lead you to the Creator? or you just run away and go deep in your problems. Remember, Jesus is Lord. He came down the tempest and sees the waves. I don't know how long it could take in your life. I could be lying to you if you say, if you pray now, you'll be relieved and it just cease. Because it was not what Jesus promised to us. But in this psalm, we can trust in his power. We can hold on the power of the cross. See, the own apostles in the New Testament, they embrace the Christ cause and they die for it. When Peter was trying to walk through the waters, in the first he trusted, but came the doubt in his mind. But at the end, Jesus was there to extend his hand to lift him up. And this is the same with us. Jesus is there to catch up us when we fall down. As his disciples' lives or in our lives, the trials and the struggles is the wonderful opportunities for God's work in our lives and to show his power. Keep going, don't give up. Trust in God, in God alone. Pray for rest. Ask for wisdom because our God's good enough to help us under the chaos. We will never be alone. He reigns before the world and he will continue to reign after the end. Remember what was saying this morning. God is the unmatched king. God's the ruler of the oceans. God's the holy and everlasting one. God is everlasting. There is nothing bigger than him. Let me pray. Jesus, this is your word. Thanks so much because you died on the cross to bring us life. God, thanks so much for the Holy Spirit working through us. Bring clarity when we read your Bible. Equip us to continue to seek for your glory, to seek for wisdom, and for we continue to keep your words in our hearts. Bless be your name in Jesus' name. Amen.